I mean, God set it up for us so well. And he's given us this opportunity on a silver platter. And what we're going to do with it. So I want to talk. What then shall we say to all this? What then shall we say to all this? We need to understand that God's word is true. God cannot lie. Nothing, absolutely nothing, catches God by surprise. Nothing is a oops to God. God never, oops, I didn't see that. Or oops, I didn't know that. That's found nowhere in God. But God sets things in order as it pleases him. And he allows his people throughout his story, history, but it's really his story. He allows his people opportunities to do great things for him and for his kingdom in the midst of severe dilemma and adversity. When all kind of stuff going on, crazy, God still remains the same. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, Paul speaking to the saints in verse number 28, again, this is very familiar, but I think it's important for us to remind ourselves of what God's word declares so we can get it in our minds and get it in our spirits and we can walk in it every day. We need God's word every day. We need the daily bread. Amen. One of my helps out of my library at home is Heaven Bound Living, a book called Heaven Bound Living, Light for the Journey. The author is Nofel Staton, and he echoes in his writings the scriptures, and I found it to be on point. Amen. A little bit about this author. He was an air traffic controller, so he's familiar with different flights. As you see when he opens up his book, he talks about there's two flights. And we're not earthbound people. We're going somewhere. Yeah. Amen. And the scripture lets us know either we're going to heaven or we're going to hell. Yeah. Amen. But we're not earthbound. But we're heavenbound. So he wrote a good book here about heavenbound living. And since we are heavenbound, then we ought to live like we're heaven bound. We ought to live, and the way that we can live like we're heaven bound is if we govern ourselves accordingly to the very word of God. So Paul in Romans chapter number 8, beginning at verse 28, I have the Amplified Version, he says, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to those and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Do we believe that? I think one version says, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. So we don't panic, and we shouldn't be in so much of an uproar, amen, as to what happens in human government. Amen? Amen. We did our civic and godly duty. Amen. But God rules in the kingdom of men. He rules in the kingdom of men. And so this was just, it should have been just a part of our agenda if we were on God's agenda. It should have been. Now we understand that there is a possibility, again, I'm not being political, I'm being practical, and I'm being biblical. We understand that there is a possibility that some things might change. Yeah. But nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. So things can change, they can come and go like they will, as much as God permits and allows. But we stand on God's word. We stand on God's promises. So we know that things are working to the good for those who love God, and I believe we love God, and are the called according to his design and purpose. God said that they're fitting into a plan. So God has a plan, and God's plan is going to come to pass. The thing that we need to make sure is that make sure we are walking according to the plan and the design of God. I had a thought to entitle this message, Synchronized Walking. Synchronized Walking. Because a thought was heavy on my mind that we need to be walking with Jesus in synchronization. We need to be in sync with Jesus. If you ever notice any events, the event that comes to my mind is synchronized swimming. How they practice and everything has to be on point and everything has to be done precisely at the right time and the right moment. And I think they even have judges who look and make sure everything is in alignment and proper alignment. So in order for those however many participants there are, they have to be thinking the same thing, right? They have to be believing the same thing, believing that their teammate is not going to let them down. They have to have confidence in their teammate, and they have to be heading toward a specific goal that's excellence in their performance. And when it is on display for not only the judges of the event, but the onlooking audience to see, we will be able to tell from our vantage point if they're in sync or if they're not. So it is with us in God. The scripture already tells us, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So if and since we have received those who were born again, when we're born again, we have received the Spirit of God. The Bible lets us know that we have the mind of Christ. So since we have the mind of Christ, and the Bible says now that Paul said in one place, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So then if there's anybody that should be walking in sync with God, it should be his people. We should want the same things that God wants. We should have the same passion and compassion for the things that God desires. And everything that God desires for us and for his people and for his kingdom, he has already laid it out in his word. So when we look into the mirror of God's word, we can determine whether we're in sync or out of sync. And this is very, very vital and important, especially in these last days that we're living in. We can't afford to be out of sync. We can't afford to follow the crowd. We have to put our trust and our hope firmly and securely, keep it in Jesus. Verse 29 of Romans 8 says, for those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. So God has already planned out our chart and our path and the course of our very existence before we got here. That's important for us to know, because our life situations and circumstances should not alter this fact that God has declared in his word. So what's going on in our nation, that shouldn't deter us from the fact that God has a plan for me and God has a plan for my life. So what am I going to do now? What am I going to do? This is not the time to throw up your hands, and this is not the time to hit the panic button. This is not the time to go on Facebook and berate this one and berate that one, but it's time to keep your face in this book and make sure that you are in sync with God. Scripture says in verse 30, and those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. God put us into right standing with himself. So we don't have time for foolishness. We don't have time for pettiness. We got to be about God's business. No matter who's in what house. This is the house. This is the temple of the living God. So what should be important is who's in this house. He says, and those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. We are right now sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's enough to praise God for, because it doesn't really, really matter what goes on in the realm of human government. Since we have been born again, we are right now sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We right now have a God that hears and answers prayer. We right now have a God that knows the ending from the beginning. We right now have Jesus Christ who is making intercession for us according to the will of God, according to the plan of God. We have, in fact, an advocate. That's what the Bible lets us know. So no matter what comes, no matter what goes, if God allows a situation to hit us collectively or individually, we can make it. We can go through it. We have the promise of God that he will never leave us, neither will he forsake us. And I hear the Bible said back in the Old Testament time, when Israel was about to go into bondage, into captivity, I heard Habakkuk say that the just shall live by faith. So whatever happened, whatever policies come down the pike, the just shall live by faith. We have our faith in Jesus Christ. He's a faithful high priest. And if there ever was a time for the church of the living God to lift up a standard of holiness, to lift up a standard of righteousness, to lift up a standard of practical biblical living, this is the very time. God has blessed us with a great opportunity. I said some time ago that sometime God can use trouble as a tool. And yes, he can. God can use trouble as a tool to get his people's attention. Because I think we said a little while ago, God already said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, right? Seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. He said, then I'll hear from heaven. So sometime God uses trouble. Let's go back for a moment in our minds. How did this great and glorious gospel get spread all over the known world? Trouble was involved. Yes, it was. Remember, they were trying to stay there at Jerusalem, but they got persecuted in Jerusalem. And when they got persecuted in Jerusalem, they left. And as they left and spread out, they preached the gospel. They preached about Jesus. So sometimes trouble is not our enemy. Sometimes trouble is God's way of saying, get on your job, get in sync, lift me up in your life, lift me up on that campus, lift me up on your job, and lift me up in the community. How can we lift him up? By living according unto his word. That's how we lift up Jesus. That's how we lift up righteousness. That's how we lift up holiness. That's how we lift up godliness. And God is still calling for those things today. Then he says, what then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? We need to believe that. These are not just mere words on paper, but this is the very living word of God. So basically what he's saying here, that if God is for us, I think one version says, since God is for us, and just in case things that may have happened may have diminished your confidence, I hear the Bible said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which have a great recompense of reward. You have need of patience. For yet in a little while he that shall come will come, and his reward is with him. Jesus is on his way back, y'all. He's coming back, and he's coming for a church without a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing. Yes, indeed, we are living in the last days. Yes, indeed, the Lord is soon to come. And yes, indeed, when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? I hear a song we used to sing, hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus, signal still, wave the answer. Back to heaven, by thy grace, we will. Some may have put your flag down. It's time to pick back up your flag and wave it back to Jesus. Said, by your grace, we're going to hold the fort. What does that mean, to hold the fort? That means you got to... You can't go with popular opinion. Lord, help us today. You can't go with popular vote or electoral college vote, but you better make your calling and election sure. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So we got to pick up the banner of righteousness. We all assemble ourselves under the banner of Jesus Christ. So what we gonna do now? That's probably on some people's mind. What we gonna do now? We done prayed and we done voted, but what we gonna do now? That's the question that's on a lot of people's mind. And God has the answer. He wants us to do what he told us to do before the election came about. He told us to obey his word. I hear God said in his word, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we got to pray. Yes, we do. We got to pray for the president. We got to pray for the governors. We got to pray for the senators. We got to pray for everybody that's in authority. Yes, we do. Not P-R-E-Y, but P-R-A-Y. Because that is a good thing that God would have us to do. God knows how to get things done the way he wants to, but I think he just wants us to get in sync with him. So some may be wondering, what we gonna do now? And you came to the right place this morning, because I got something to tell you about what we ought to do. The first thing that we need to do is wait. W-A-I-T. What do you mean, wait? I've been waiting a long time. Listen, the Bible said, wait for. Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for. for and expect the Lord, even in this tumultuous time. That was Psalm, by the way, 27 and 14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. So if somebody asks you, what we gonna do now? We're gonna wait on the Lord, and we're gonna be of good courage, for he shall strengthen our hearts. Then the Bible lets me know in Philippians chapter number 3, but we, glory, hallelujah, we are citizens of the state, the commonwealth, the homeland which is in heaven. Glory, hallelujah. I'm so glad. Can't nobody build a wall to keep us out of heaven. Glory, hallelujah. We are, that's the way, we got to get this. Turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 20. Paul telling the saints at Philippi, but we are citizens of the state, the commonwealth, the homeland, which is in heaven. I told you we're citizens of heaven, and from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as Savior. So I'm waiting on God. I'm not murmuring. I'm not complaining. I'm waiting on God because he's soon to come. And when he comes, verse 21 of Philippians 3 says, who will transform and fashion anew the body of our humiliation to conform to and be like the body of his glory and majesty by exerting that power which enables him even to subject everything to himself. So what are we waiting on? We're waiting on the Lord. We're waiting to be transformed. We're waiting to get a body like the glorious resurrected body of Jesus Christ. So I ain't got to worry about things down here. I'm going to do what I need to do as a good citizen and as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, but my real citizenship, our real citizenship is in heaven. Glory, hallelujah. And can't nobody keep me out of there but myself. And I made up my mind that I'm going back with Jesus when he comes. So I'm going to make sure that I'm going to be in sync with him, so he will transform and fashion anew this body and conform it like the body of his glory and majesty. Listen, this is what gives us hope in our darkest circumstances, that we're going to see Jesus and we're going to get a resurrected body just like Jesus, and we're going to be in heaven with Jesus. We're going to the city whose builder and maker is God. I don't mind waiting on that. How about you? And I'm going to wait with a joyful hope. I'm going to wait with expectation. I'm going to wait with happiness and joy down in my soul, because when I think about what God has prepared for all of us, I ain't got time to sing no sad song. I ain't got time to sing the blues. I am looking for the coming of our Lord. So the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to wait. Then I got to do something else. Time out for sitting down with my sitting on my hands and just spectating. No, after I wait, then I need to walk. Glory. Hallelujah. I need to walk. 1 John chapter number 1, beginning at verse 6. So if we say we are partakers together and fellowship with him when we live and move and are walking about in darkness, we are both speaking falsely and do not live and practice the truth which the gospel presents. So I got to walk upright before God. In one place, he said we got to walk worthy of the vocation where we wherewith we have been called. So while I'm waiting, I got to get to walking. I got to walk away from darkness. I hear God said in his word that we must depart from the very appearance of evil. So if it looked like evil, if it looked like darkness, if it looked like wrong, I got to get away from it. I got to walk. I don't want nothing shady around me at all. I can't throw shade at you, and please don't throw none at me. I can't stand it. We're children of light, so I got to walk not in darkness. But I hear John said in verse number 7, but if we really, glory, hallelujah, are living and walking in light. I wonder who's really living and walking in light this morning. He says, as he himself, talking about Jesus, he himself is in the light. We have true, unbroken fellowship one with another. Glory, hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses, removes us from all sin and guilt, keeps us clean from sin in all its forms and manifestations. Whoa, that's something to be excited about. Y'all sitting here like I'm telling you some bad news. This is some great news. Glory, hallelujah. This will get you from earth to glory if you really want to go. Glory. We got to wait, and then we got to walk. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 6 says, whoever says he abides in him ought as a personal debt to walk, glory, and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself. I got to walk like Jesus. I got to conduct myself like Jesus. When can I see what Jesus did? I got to put my head in the book and read how he conducted himself. I hear him say it one time. He says, I know that my Father hears me because I always do what pleases him. Glory to God. What a great benefit that we can have confidence that God will hear our prayers. If we walk like Jesus walked, if we conduct ourselves like Jesus conducted himself, then we have the very same confidence. Glory. Hallelujah. So we got to wait and we got to walk. Glory. Hallelujah. How many feel like walking? How many feel like waiting? I don't know. This ain't going over like I thought it would go over, but I'm going on in Jesus' name. Anyway, I preach it to myself because I hear God said in his word, save yourself from this untoward generation. Sit there if you want to, but I'm heaven bound. I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm glad about it. They can't do nothing to us. I'm trying to build somebody's confidence. Well, God's trying to do that. God know how you feel. He know you're disappointed. He know that some of y'all are afraid. But I hear God said in his word, he did not give us the spirit of fear. Glory. Hallelujah. I hear God said, David said, I was young and now I'm old, but I never, you hear what he said? He said, never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Glory, if God in his wisdom, if God in his awesomeness, if God in his providence can make a bird feed one of his prophets in Old Testament time, surely he's going to take care of all of our needs. Surely he's going to provide for all of his people. It's the same God who said he allows it to rain on the just and on the unjust. So as long as we're walking with God,
All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. We don't have nothing really to worry about. Put your confidence in God. That's what we're gonna do now. That's what we should have been doing all along. Just crank it up. Turn it up. Glory. Hallelujah. So we gotta wait and we gotta walk. I'm trying to give you some substance. It ain't about style. It's about substance. You got to have something to stick to your ribs through here. Glory, hallelujah. Them chips ain't going to make it. Them Cheetos, Doritos, and Twinkies and whatnot. You need some meat and potatoes. Glory, hallelujah, to build us up in our most precious holy faith. This faith is holy because it's the faith of Jesus Christ. Glory. Hallelujah. We got to walk, y'all. We got to walk this thing out. Oh, I feel like walking, but I'm going to try to stay up here for a minute. Glory. But we got to walk this, y'all. Listen, God moved millions of people. They were walking from Egypt. Yes, they were. Oh, yeah, they were walking. Glory. Hallelujah. God said it's time for us to walk it out. Ooh, glory. Walk it out. Glory. 2 John chapter number 1, verse 6. Glory. And what this love consists in is this, that we live and walk in accordance with and guided by his commandments. That's how we got to walk, y'all. His orders, his ordinances, his precepts, his teaching, all that is the word. This is the commandment, glory. This is the commandment, as you have heard from the beginning, that you continue to walk in love, guided by it and following it. So we got to walk in love. We can't hate on nobody. Glory. Hallelujah. You can't hate on nobody. Glory. We got to park there for a minute. Can't hate on nobody. So go ahead and delete all them posts, all those angry vitriol posts. Delete them. You hear what I said? Delete them. I'm talking to you if it's you. All right, we got to wait. We got to walk, then we got to run. Glory. Hallelujah. We got to run, y'all. We can't sit idle no more. What we going to do now? We going to wait. We going to walk, and now we going to run. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 24 begins. It says, do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race. Glory. I love what Amplified says. Run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. See, God has a plan for us, and God has a race for us. So run your race. You can't run my race. I don't want to run yours. Because your race has some hurdles in it where I'm not expecting them. And my race got some hurdles that only God will help me get over. So you run your race, I'll run my race, but get your feet out of the starting block and get to running. He said, so run your race that you may lay hold of the prize, make it yours. Now every athlete, he continues in verse 25, now every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperately and restricts himself in all things. Oh, I can't run here and there if I'm running a race. I can't afford to be distracted with stuff that really don't matter. But I have to restrict myself in all things. They do it, Paul said, to win a wreath that will soon wither. But we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness that cannot wither. When the battle's over, what we gonna do? We shall wear a crown. Mm-hmm. But you gotta get to the end of the battle. You got to run. So Paul says, but like a boxer. Verse 26, I'm sorry. Therefore, I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. Where you running to? You ever see a human experiment? You ever see just be out in the street, all of a sudden somebody start running? Then another person start running. And they get to look, and another person start running. And you, everybody running. I guess I ought to run too. Why are you running? I don't know. I just saw people running. You running uncertainly. Right? You be grabbing everybody. Come on, y'all. Come on. What you running for? Must be something going on. But I don't know. You don't know whether you're running from it or running to it. But you just running because the crowd's running. Therefore, I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. I know what I'm running to. I'm running for my life. Why these old songs keep coming up in my mind? Y'all taught them to me. I'm running for my life. If anybody asks you, what's the matter? Not what's wrong, because ain't nothing wrong. What's the matter with me? Huh? Just tell them I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm Holy Ghost filled. And I'm water baptized. And I got Jesus on my side. And I'm running for my life. What we going to do now? We're going to wait. We're going to walk. And we're going to run. Amen. But like a boxer. Well, let me finish 26. Therefore, I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. I do not box like one beating and striking the air. I ain't shadow boxing. And striking without an adversary. But like a boxer, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardship. So we got to be disciplined people while we wait. We got to be disciplined people while we walk. We got to be disciplined people while we run. Discipline is another derivative of disciple. All right? He said, and I subdue it for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved and rejected as a counterfeit. Lord, have mercy. I'm taking this one for myself. Now, I'm encouraging you to run. But if you don't run, I'm running. I'm encouraging you to wait. But if you don't wait, I'm waiting. I'm encouraging you to walk. But if my mama don't go, I'll journey on. If you don't go, don't hinder me. All right? Made up my mind. I don't have time. I'm on my way. Praise God. I'm on my way. So I'm going to run because I don't want to preach to you and teach you and then I don't make it. Come on. This is real. This is God's word. It's God's word. All right, one more scripture for the run. Then I tell you what else we got to do. We got to do all this? Yes. What we going to do now? You asked the question. So I'm telling you what you're going to do now. I thought, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I thought this was going to happen. God got it. Don't even worry about it. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance. I started to wear a tracksuit today. I sure did. But I would have had to get to this part of the message. And I didn't think I could change clothes that quick. It came in my mind. I'm going to tell you the truth. Huh? Therefore, since we are surrounded, but you get the picture, right? Therefore, since we are, God is just great how he gives us stuff in his word. Therefore, then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne the testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily and deftly and cleverly clings to and entangles us, And let us run with patient endurance, and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Remember, I told you, God has got a course for us. And we got to get everything, take everything off. You know how they put on those aerodynamic suits so they can fight against the wind resistance? That's how God wants us to do. Lay aside every weight. Every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. So what we gotta do? We gotta wait. We gotta walk. We gotta run. Well, what else you got? Okay. We gotta endure. While we're waiting, while we're walking, and while we're running, we gotta endure. Matthew 10 and 22 says, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake." There's so much hate going on right now. Don't worry about it. God already knew what was up. I told you, nothing catches God by surprise. "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who perseveres and endures to the end will be saved from spiritual disease and death in the world to come." So you got to endure. They're going to hate you. Now, we can't be the haters, but we are going to be the hated. Know that. Don't let that get you out of sync. Why are you hating on me? Because that's what you're supposed to do, is hate on me. That's all right. But I'm going to endure to the end. But what we going to do now? What we going to do? Wait, walk, run, and endure. We got something else. We got to fight. Okay, I can finally do something. No, it ain't that kind of fight. Here's what you got to do. It ain't that kind of fight, but it is a fight. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 12. "For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood." All right? Let me get that again. "For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotism, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere." So whoever gets in, they ain't really calling the shots. We gotta know this. We got to know this. They think they're calling the shots. But this is who we're fighting against. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and 12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were summoned and for which you confess the good confession of faith before many witnesses." When we came here and got saved, okay, I'm saved. I give up. I'm going to live for God. All right. You confessed it before all these witnesses. Now fight. You open up your mouth. Now fight. You repented. You got baptized in Jesus' name. You got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now fight. The good fight of faith. So what we got to do? We got to wait. We got to walk. We got to run. We got to endure, and then we got to fight. That's a lot, huh? No. All right, we got something else to do. Oh, man. We got to flee. We got to flee. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. This is what God tells us to flee. Because, again, we want to be walking in sync with God. He says, shun, in the Amplified, immorality and all sexual looseness. I'm going to have to put my kickstand on my bike right there and get off the bike and walk this out. Now, interestingly enough, he's writing this to the saints at Corinth. Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed. All right. If, for those of you watching my live stream, you are not married, and those of you in the congregation, sex, according to God, is prohibited. Let me back up so you can get a good target at me. All right. Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Shun it. Can I go Brooklyn for a moment? Shut it down. No excuses. Shut it down. Any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Shut it down. Let me put, if I will, if you'll allow me, he or she. All right? So we understand each other. So we got to flee. Y'all got real quiet. Okay, y'all was listening before. Huh? But this one is getting close, huh? That's all right. It need to get close so you won't get so close. Cut it out. Shut it down. Don't put yourself in those situations. I was talking to a young man. I said, you can't be around this woman when ain't nobody else there. I said, don't do it. I said, all flesh is weak. You have to, I said, if you want her to respect you, you can't do that. I said, get yourself out of those tight environments. You don't need to be laid up, hugged up, talking about some Netflix and chill. Away with that foolishness. Because it ain't no Netflix and it sure ain't no chill. There's going to be some hot flesh in that place. It ain't no, y'all laughing, but I told you I'm going to park here for a minute. Ain't no Netflix and chill. Hello, that's code. That's code. They used to call it a booty call. I don't know what they call it now. Yes, I'm going there. It ain't no Netflix and chill. That's a lie the devil done propagated throughout the atmosphere. And some of us is, oh, that sounds pretty good. Netflix and chill. No. Shall I move on? No, I'm going to stay here for a little while longer. And it's not just young folk. Shacking up. Tear the shack down.
Well, you don't know my situation. God's bigger than your situation. You don't know my economics. God's bigger than your economics. Get out of that shack. Okay, what we gonna do now? We're gonna wait. We're gonna walk. And we're gonna run. Some of y'all need to run away for some stuff. We're gonna endure. We're gonna fight. And we sure enough got to flee. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, shun youthful lusts and flee from them. Get away from that. And aim at and pursue righteousness, all that is virtuous and good. Right living, conforming to the will of God in thought, word, and deed. And aim at and pursue faith, love, and peace, harmony, and concord with others in fellowship with all Christians who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. That's what we have to do. So what are we going to do? We're going to wait. We're going to walk. We're going to run. We're going to endure. We're going to fight. We're going to flee. I heard nobody in that section over there say flee. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. I only heard one, but there's more than one over there. There's more than one. This is one brave soul over there. All right. Come on. We got to live this. We got to speak this to ourselves. So here's the participation. Everybody say wait. Walk. Run. Endure. Fight. Flee. We got something else. After we've done all that, we got to draw near. We got to draw near. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. I'm almost done, but I wanted to get you what I believe, something to answer the question, what are we going to do now? Hebrews 10:22 says, let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts in unqualified assurance and absolute conviction engendered by faith, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, in His wisdom and goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience, and our bodies cleansed with pure water. So we need to draw near. We got to draw near. James put it this way in James 4:8. Come close to God, and He will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interests, and purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery. What we gonna do with that? We gotta draw near, y'all. We gotta draw near. We gotta draw near. Can I give you one more? All right. I'll let you go on this one. I think some of y'all might like this one coming up. I hope I do. We gotta love. We have to love. Matthew 7:12 says, so then, whatever you desire that others would do to and for you, even so do also to and for them. For this is, this sums up the law and the prophets. And in Romans chapter number 13, beginning at verse number 8, Paul speaking to the church at Rome, he says, keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, who practices loving others, has fulfilled the law relating to one's fellow men, meeting all its requirements. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, have an evil desire, and any other commandment are summed up in the single command: you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. Love does no wrong to one's neighbor. It never hurts anybody. Therefore, love meets all the requirements and is the fulfilling of the law. So what shall we say to all this? What we gonna do now? We're gonna wait. We're gonna walk. We're gonna run. We're gonna endure. We're gonna fight. We're gonna flee. We're gonna draw near. And we're gonna love. Amen. Now, if we do this, that's heaven-bound living. That's heaven-bound living. And we won't have to worry. Come with me. This is the chart of our path until the Lord comes for us individually or collectively. Amen? God bless you. In Jesus' name.